الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وأذن في الناس بالحج يأتوك رجالا وعلى كل ضامر يأتين من كل فج عميق. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الحجاج والعمار وفد الله، يعطيهم ما سألوا ويستجيب لهم ما دعوا ويخلف عليهم ما أنفقوا، الدرهم بألف ألف درهم، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, we have entered the month of Shawwal, and from the first of Shawwal we enter that period of the Islamic calendar which is referred to as Ayyamul Hajj. Of the five pillars of Islam, the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he said, Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. He said, fundamentally, by way of foundation, our deen-e-Islam is set on five pillars. One is the shahadat of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other is salah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, zakat, and pertinent to this period of the year which we are passing through, the fifth pillar of Islam is that of Hajj. Whilst it is understandable and logical that not every one of us every year will perform Hajj, nor is it compulsory. Hajj is compulsory upon what we call Agniya of the Ummat, those who have the financial capability, once in a lifetime have to carry out this injunction. However, there are certain peculiarities, there are certain aspects, there are certain haqaiq and realities that are attached to this amal of Hajj. If we look at the seerah, at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, we find that the effort of Hajj, many, many riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entering Mina, leaving Mina, going from this tent, going to that tent, meeting this wafad, meeting that delegation. And then even if you look at the life of Madinah Munawwara, the focus of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was upon Makkah Mukarramah. So as I mentioned, whilst every one of us won't be proceeding, few are proceeding, those whom Allah has accepted, there are certain peculiarities, there are certain haqaiq, there are certain realities that are attached to Baytullah that are fundamental and relevant to every one of us. And it is essential and important that we recognize those realities. Unfortunately, as we have mentioned many, many times, when it comes to ibadat, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of us are going through the motions. This has become it has become what we call riwaj, a custom. The haqaiq, the reality, for example, salah will take place just now. What does Allah say in the Quran? Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. That salah, if it is salah, then through that amal of salah, two things will come out of the life of a musalli. One is fahsha, the other is munkar. In other words, lewdness, shamelessness will come out of the life of the musalli. And the quality of disobeying Allah, haram, whatever haram is in the life of a person, if his salah is salah, that salah will wean him of that haram. Yet we find today, if you look at the life of the musalli, generally speaking, shamelessness is there. Allah's disobedience is still there. Why? Because the salah which is matloob, desired in Quran and Hadith, which is desired by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wherein he said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli." He said, "Read namaz, make your salah like you see me, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam making salah." Because that reality is not there, that is why the benefit is lost to the ummah. Likewise, this amal of fasting, fasting just passed. What does Allah say? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fast in the month of Ramadan, you will become muttaqi. You will get this johar, this jewel of taqwa. Hilal of Eid got sighted, what happened? The masjid got empty. Hilal of Eid got sighted, the Quran shelves got full again. Put away till when? Till next Ramadan. In other words, we fasted the entire month of Ramadan, taqwa we didn't get. Why? Because the fast is not that fast which Quran and Hadith is telling us about. So like this, my respected brothers, if you have to analyze and look at our lives, the manner in which we are carrying out the amal of deen, many of these have become rasam and riwaj. The haqqaiq, the reality, and what is even more distressing is the justaju, the talab, the desire to perfect these amal, to acquire the haqqaiq and reality of these amal, that is not there also. When it comes to hajj, 14 centuries ago, what did Rasulullah s.a.w. say? He said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهُ وَأُسَاتُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ وَقُرَّاؤُهُمْ لِلْرِيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ وَفُقَرَاؤُهُمْ لِلْمَسَلَةِ. Even this amal of hajj, what did Nabi s.a.w. say? He said, a time will come upon my ummah, the rich people, hajj and umrah will become what? Will become a holiday. Instead of going to America or Paris or Britain, let's go for hajj. Or let's go for Umrah. December time, Haram is full. But what actually is full? Not Kaabatullah, the bazaars. Not Kaabatullah, the shopping expeditions. He said the rich people, Hajj, Umrah will become a holiday. For the pious people, for the Qurra, for the Ulama, it will become a showing of exercise. Certain Sheikh made so many Hajj, certain Sheikh made so many Umrah. For the middle classes, it will become an exercise in trade and commerce. For the poor people, it will become a begging expedition. What is the message of the hadith? The reality, the haqqaiq of these amal will come out of the ummah. So this is why it is essential, my respected brothers, by way of muzakara, that we remind ourselves, doesn't mean I'm not going for hajj this year, or I'm not going for Umrah now, that this is not relevant to me. Every aspect of this entire amal is relevant. This is the fifth pillar of Islam. And this is such an ajeeb amal. The verse of the Quran which I recited in the beginning. Allah Ta'ala commands Ibrahim alayhi salam after the reconstruction of Kaabatullah, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. O Ibrahim, issue the invitation. Call the entire humanity for Hajj. أَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. What does Ibrahim alayhi salam respond? وَمَا يَبْلُغُ صَوْتِي. Ya Allah, there's no satellite dish, no advanced telecommunications. One side Jabal Abi Qubais, one side Jabal Makkah, one side Jabal Safa, one side Jabal Marwa, one side Jabal Umar. Black arid mountains, desert. Hardly any population. And Allah is saying, call the whole world for Hajj. وَمَا يَبْلُغُ صَوْتِي. Ya Allah, how is my voice going to reach? What does Allah Ta'ala say to him? أَذِّنْ وَعَلَيَّ الْبَلَاغِ. Ibrahim, you issue the invitation. Conveying that invitation, that's my job. فَسَعَدَ جَبَلْ أَبِي قُبَيْسِ. He climbs onto the mountain of Abu Qubais. And at that time, look at the ajeeb invitation that's given. Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna Allaha qad amarakum bihajj hadha al-bayt. O people, O humanity, Allah is commanding you with hajj of Baytullah. Why? Because Allah requires or benefits in any way from the expenditure that you incur? Because Allah benefits in any way from the difficulty and hardship that this journey will entail? No. Why is Allah calling you for hajj? Allah doesn't benefit. Allah is calling you for this reason. لِيُثِيبَكُمْ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَيُجِيرَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. Allah through this hajj wants to give you jannat. And Allah through this Hajj wants to save you from Jahannam. That is why Rasulullah said, Al-Hajj al-Mabroor laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. He said, for Hajj, a Mabroor, Maqbool, accepted Hajj, there is no other return but this Haji is a Jannati. Laysa lahu jaza'un illa al-Jannah. Allah will give him Jannat. So Ibrahim alayhi salam says this, Allah commands you because Allah wants to give you Jannat, save you from Jahannam. What happens? What happens? Allah makes it such that the voice of Ibrahim alayhi salam reaches every living person on the surface of the earth at that time. Those women, they, in their wombs, those children that were developing, they also hear this invitation. In alam-e arwah, every soul to be born till qiyamah. Here's the invitation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. The reaction differs. According to the tawfiq of Allah, some recite the labbaik once, some several times. According to the number of times the labbaik was recited, some remain silent. According to that, Allah takes upon himself that number of times Allah will bring that person for Hajj. What is the lesson? What is the sabak that we are learning? Those who have been for Hajj, you would have seen flags in Mina, various travel agents advertising their fare or advertising their service or whatever it is. But certain places you will see certain flags written on it. What? Marhaba, welcome. To who? Biduyufir Rahman. Marhaban biduyufir Rahman. Welcome to Allah's guests. Welcome to the guests of Rahman. What is the sabak? That wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, it is not your money that is bringing you here. It is not your financial prowess. It is not your intelligence. It is not your means. It is not the accreditation of any organization. By the qasam of my Allah, it is Allah who is bringing you here. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar wafdullah. He said, the one that goes for Hajj and the one that goes for Umrah, this is Allah's waf, Allah's delegation, Allah's representatives. A lot of times person returns from Umrah, person returns from, how you went? Did you get approved? Did you get accreditation? How did you get visa? My respected brothers, take this out of the mind and heart. It is not the accreditation of any organization that is taking you there. It is not some visa. It is not your financial means. You want to get accredited, you want to get approved, get up at the time of tahajjud. Go on the musalla and ask for the approval from where it is actually coming. Turn to Allah, beg from Allah. Allah Ta'ala is the one who takes. Allah is the one who brings people there. I remember one trip recently. Somebody was just telling me before that how difficult it is, particularly, they say some new regulations, Indian Hajis this year are less, or the Indian people from India for Umrah are less. Somebody was just having that conversation after that. Maghrib Salah, I was sitting in the Haram looking at the Kaaba. After Maghrib, one elderly couple, old man and woman from India, their entire provision was in 3 or 4 packets. One was made out of cloth, on it was written some bazaar in Delhi. That is how I ascertained where they're from. This elderly man couldn't even walk properly, back bent over. Old, simple woman with him. You can see, looking at them, forget Hajj and Umrah. One wonders whether they got enough for their next meal also. 3 or 4 packets, I was sitting behind one pillar in front of the Kaaba, they come. Looking at me, this old man ties his 3 or 4 packets in front of me. Points to it. In other words, I'm going with my wife for tawaf now. Please look after my belongings. Because he didn't want someone to steal it. So he goes for tawaf. I'm looking at his belongings, 3 or 4 packets. You can see, this is not just some food. This is his clothing. Whatever they need for the entire journey is in that 3 or 4 packets. Tied up in front of me. Message of some, like I told you, mention of some bazaar in Delhi. I'm looking at that and I'm thinking to myself, what more clarity do we need? What accreditation and what thousands of rands? They are millionaires, sitting in the lap of financial empires that have been deprived of ru'yat of Kaabatullah. There are people in Makkah that don't go to the Haram. And look at these people, the person can't even walk.
He can't even walk properly. Look at his financial means, hardly anything. His entire belongings in 3 or 4 packets and Allah is bringing him. This is the lesson we have to learn, my respected brothers. Allah's qasam, it is not your wealth. It is Allah's acceptance. Go on that musalla. Beg from Allah and see how Allah opens the way. Al-Hujjaj wal-Ummar wafdullah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Haji and the one that goes for Umrah, this is Allah's wufud, Allah's delegation. يُعْتِيهِمْ مَا سَأَلُوا. Whatever dua they make, Allah will grant it. Whatever dua they make, Allah will give it to them. One person was in Tawaf, he had passed the Rukne Yamani, was going towards the Hajar Aswad. He made dua, Allahumma ghfir li fulan. Oh Allah, forgive so and so a person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard this dua. He asked that person, why did you make this dua? He said, Ya Rasulullah, before I left for this journey, my brother requested me to make dua for him, for his maghfirat. I have made that dua. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you are in such a place that dua is granted. That person's maghfirat is made. يُعْتِيهِمْ مَا سَأَلُوا. Whatever they ask, Allah will grant it. يَسْتَجِيبُ لَهُمْ مَا دَعَوْا. When they turn to Allah and make dua, Allah will accept their dua. And pertinent to what we are discussing, وَيُخْلِفُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَنْفَقُوا. وَيُخْلِفُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَا أَنْفَقُوا. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Whatever expenditure was incurred in this journey of Hajj and Umrah, I'm not talking about the shopping expeditions. And I'm not talking about extravagance and israf. What is meant is necessary expenditure. Whatever expenditure was incurred in this journey, because you are Allah's guest, when some prominent person has a function, he invites you, what does he do? He pays your costs, puts you up in a hotel, sees to your needs while you are his guest. You are so-and-so's guest. So VIP card, everything found. Allah is akramul akramin, arhamul rahimin. Allah is ghaniyul aghniya. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That Allah takes it upon himself, whatever you spend to go for Hajj and Umrah, Allah will give it back to you. Allah will give it back to you. But not according to your shan, according to his shan. Ad dirham bi alf alf dirham. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, for every dirham that you spend, every rand that you spend, Allah will give you 1 million in return, minimum. That is why on one occasion he told Sahaba, save yourself from poverty. Save yourself from poverty. What is the mafhum of the hadith? Those who will go for Hajj and Umrah again and again, and it is a guarantee that Allah Ta'ala will never make that person poor. Because what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying? Everything that you spend to go there, Allah is going to give it back to you. This is not an ordinary amal. In the entire Quran, if you look at Salah, if you look at Sawm, if you look at the other pillars of Islam, there is no surah name like that. There's no surah to Salah. There's no surah to Sawm. This is munfarid, unique. This one amal of Hajj, Allah has named an entire surah of the Quran, Suratul Hajj. Through this amal of Hajj, takmeel and perfection of deen took place. On one occasion, one Jew came to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said that in your Quran that was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is a verse. If this same verse had been revealed in the Torah of Musa alayhi salam, we would have made the day of its revelation a day of Eid, a day of celebration. Umar radiallahu anhu was not an ordinary person. He was that personality whom Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌ لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ. If there to be a Nabi after me, it would have been Umar. He was a living embodiment of the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. اِتَّقُوا فِرَاسَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْذُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. Fear the inner wisdom which Allah blesses a believer with, a true mu'min with. Because he looks with the noor of Allah. This Jew said there is a verse in your Quran that if it was in the Torah, we would have made the day of his revelation a day of Eid. Umar responds, he says, I know what verse you are referring to. Forget one Eid. The day of its revelation was 2 Eids for us. 2 Eids. One, it was the day of Arafah, which is Eid for this Ummah. The other, it was a Friday, which is Eid. After the time of Asr, in Arafah, in the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my Nabi was on his camel Qaswa. When the Quran would be revealed, such would be the weight that Aisha radiallahu anha, some Sahaba mentioned, that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's head was lying on there, thigh or leg, and Quran came down, they felt that the leg would break because of the weight of revelation. It's mentioned in the riwayat, such was the weight of the revelation of this verse, it almost broke the back of the camel of Rasulullah. His camel Qaswa, he was mounted after Asr. This verse came down. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena. Today, Allah says, today, al-yawm. Today, now deen is complete. My bounty is complete, perfected upon you. Through Hajj, culmination, completion, perfection, kamal and itmam of deen Islam is taking place. وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَا. And I have chosen Islam for you now till Qiyamah. You want Allah. You want Allah. You want Maghfirat. You want Jannat. Nothing, nothing, nothing else besides Islam. جَمِعُ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The complete perfect way of life of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will get you Jannat, nothing else. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. You will choose any other way besides the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Besides deen Islam, Allah says, فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. It will never be accepted from you. There is only one way. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this deen Islam. I am digressing. Hajj is the pillar of Islam, fundamental foundation of Islam. Culmination of Islam takes place through Hajj. The days of Hajj have started. The days of Hajj have started. We have a recipe, we have a formula. Allah says nothing else but this will be accepted from you. The way of life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Start from one side of the masjid and ask each one. Ask each one, how much do we know about the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Our elders are telling us during the days of Hajj, in the masajid of the world, in your ta'lim at home, read Fazail-e-Hajj. Read the virtues of Hajj. Read the kitab of the Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. Remind yourself of this amal. Learn about this amal. How much do we really know about Hajj? It's the days of Hajj. We say we are Ashik Rasul. We love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala loved every aspect of the life of my Nabi. If you look at Sirah, born in a desert in the most backward nation of the time, yet every aspect of his life recorded till Qiyamah. So that there's no excuse, no excuse whatsoever. Allah loved every ada, every action, every smile, every movement of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah preserved it. We are deficient in our allegiance. We are deficient in our following Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why the desire is not there. Which rugby match, which soccer match, which cricket match is going to take place. The names of the players, their background. Youngsters in the masjid, t-shirts, advertising, soccer personalities, people whose every day is in sharab and every night is in zina. Coming for Juma, no topi on the forehead, on the head also. Then we want to know whether it's Bukhari and Muslim, which hadith it comes from, as if we became an imam of hadith. That has become our attachment. Yet look at the manner in which every aspect recorded. The occasion of Juma is impossible to go into details, but just by way of a recipe, just to give us an indication. Look at the manner in which Sahaba preserved, observed every aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Days of Hajj are here. When did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave for Hajj? How many days was his journey for Hajj? How many stops did he make? What occurred? It was a Saturday, 25th of Zulhijjah, 25th of Zulqa'dah, before Zuhr Salah. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam tied his ihram in Madinah Munawwara. The cloth of the ihram, if we didn't know this, what difference would it have made? Yet look at the extent to which Allah preserved the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The cloth of his ihram came from a town called Sahara, which today is in Muscat, at that time was in Yemen. Two pieces of cloth, a special type of cloth, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tied before Zuhr Salah. Thereafter he explained the ahkamat of Hajj. Made Zuhr Salah in Madinah Munawwara. 12,000 Sahaba were present at that time with him. They began the journey for Hajj. He appointed as Amir of Madinah, Abu Dujana Ansari. he appointed to look after his qurbani animals, Najiyah bin Jundub Aslami radiallahu anhu. At the time of Asr, he reached Zul Hulayfa. Jibreel came down and said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah wants you to spend the night here in Zul Hulayfa. This is a Mubarak night. He read 5 salah in Zul Hulayfa from that Asr till the next day Zuhr. After the Fajr the next morning, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ghusl. What was used in the water of that ghusl is also recorded. Ushnan and khitmi, 2 types of leaves that used to serve as soap, were put into the water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made ghusl. The manner in which he washed his hair is described. How he passed his hands through his hair. At that time his hair was very long. After washing his hair, he applied oil to his hair. After that he put shahad, honey, in his hair. The honey used to work in such a way so that it will cause the hair to lock and not blow in the wind. Thereafter, in the mang, in the crown, he applied itar. He applied itar on his body. He did not apply itar on his ihram. Where he tied his camel. After Zuhr, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mounted his camel. He began his journey from Zul Hulayfa. He reached a certain rock, a certain tree. That also is recorded. The tree is not there today. At that time there was a tree. He faced Qibla and he said, Labbaik, Hajjatan Allahumma Labbaik. Every aspect recorded. And where is the jistaju today? Where is the talab today? Where is the desire? This soccer personality, that cricket team, that program, this, that. We know everything. But what is the knowledge? What is the shock? What is the jistaju of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is what we are talking about, my respected brothers. These are not rituals. This is not rasam and riwaj. What is Allah giving on this hajj? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the masjid in Mina. Two sahaba came to him, one Ansari, one from Banu Thaqif. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have come to ask you some questions. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at them. He said, if you want, I will listen to your questions and answer. And if you want, I will tell you what your questions are. Jibreel has come and informed me what you came to ask me about. They said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us. The hadith is long, time is limited. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the crux of it. You have come to ask on the various aspects of Hajj what Allah will give you. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا خَرَجْتَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ تَأُمُّ الْبَيْتِ الْحَرَامِ فَلَا تَدَعُ نَاقَتُكَ خُفًّا وَلَا تَرْفَعُهُ إِلَّا كُتِبَتْ لَكَ بِهَا حَسَنًا وَحُتَّ عَنْكَ بِهَا خَطِيئَةً. He says, when a person leaves for Hajj, every step, one sin wiped away, one neki written down. وَأَمَّا رَكَعْتَاكَ بَعْدَ الطَّوَافِ كَإِتْقِ رَقَبَةٍ مِّن بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلِ. After, when he reaches the Kaabatullah, when he reaches Kaabatullah, he makes istilam of Hajar-e Aswad. What is Hajar-e Aswad? الْحَجَرُ الْأَسْوَدْ يَمِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُصَافِهُ بِيَا عِبَادَهُ كَمَا يُصَافِهُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Hajar-e Aswad is the right hand of Allah on this earth. This is not literal. The correct meaning, Allah knows best. This is just a figurative example. It is mentioned that when in Alam-e Arwah, when Allah Ta'ala asked the question from all the souls of humanity, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Rabb? Everyone said, Bala, Ya Allah, you are the Rabb. It is said that covenant, that oath, which we took in Alam-e Arwah before coming to the dunya, was recorded on a piece of paper. And that piece of paper was put inside the Hajar-e Aswad. Hajar-e Aswad, likewise Rukn-e Yamani, likewise Maqam-e Ibrahim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Ruknu wal-Maqam, Yaqutatani min Yaqutil Jannah. He said, these are stones from Jannat. Tamasallahu nurahuma. Allah Ta'ala placed a cover over its nur. Because his nur is such that if Allah didn't cover it, it will light up the entire world. He said, Hajar-e Aswad was whiter than milk, ashaddu biyadam min al-laman, walakin sawwadathu khataya bani Adam. But the stone absorbed the sins of insan, as a result of which it became black. Hazrat Mawseed Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, he says, Hajar-e Aswad has the capacity to seal the heart of a person on the jazba with which you went there. When you make istilam of Hajar-e Aswad, what jazba is in the heart, the Hajar-e Aswad will seal your heart on that jazba. That is why be very careful. Don't have the jazba of dunya. What place are you in? What type of place is that? What type of place is that? Ask ourselves. Someone came to Fuzail bin Ayaz rahimahullah. And they said to him that I want to go for Hajj. Give me nasihat. Give me advice. He said, Shammi rizal laka fi talab. He said, realize where you are going. Tie your lungi. Exert yourself in the obedience of Allah in this journey. And think to yourself. Think to yourself. Ila aina tadhhab wa ila man tadhhab. Where are you going and to who are you going? Where are you going and to who? Who's caught? When you are invited to some gathering of this world, when you're going to meet some so-called prominent person, how much preparation you make? Whose court are you going? He says this and he falls down unconscious. One person is making Hajj. Malik bin Dinar says, at the time of tying the ihram, at the miqat, this youngster looks up to the heavens, Ya man tasurruhu ta'at, wala tadurruhu al-ma'asi. He says, oh my Allah, when we obey you, you become happy. When we disobey you, our sinning does not harm you. Habli ma yasurruk, waghfir li ma la yadurruk. Grant me that which pleases you, the ability to obey you. Waghfir li ma la yadurruk. And forgive me that which does not harm you. In other words, my sins, forgive it. Other people are tying the ihram, reciting labbaik. This youngster is hesitating. Malik bin Dinar says to him, why don't you recite the labbaik? He looks at Malik bin Dinar and he says to him that, oh Malik, do you realize what you are saying when you are saying labbaik? What are you saying? Labbaik, Allah, I'm coming. Allah, I'm coming, I am present, I am here. Who are you saying it to? Where are you going? Such a place. Your local masjid, you read salah. To read 100,000 first salah will take you 55 years, 6 months and 20 days. In one day you read 5 salah. In one day you read 5 salah. In Masjid al-Haram, what is that 5 salah equal to? The salah of 277 years, 7 months and 10 days. 5 salah in Masjid al-Haram is equal to that. One salah in Masjid al-Haram, 55 years, 6 months and 20 days, such a place you are going to. You are going to Kaabatullah. You are Allah's guest. He says, oh Malik, does not your sins, does not the blackness of your heart, does not this heart soiled in the love and attachment of dunya cause you to pause and wonder and be concerned that you are shouting, Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, Ya Allah, I'm coming. And from that side, the call may be, don't come. Your coming is not wanted. You are not worthy of coming here. Does not this concern enter your heart? The same youngster, Malik bin Dinar says, I saw him after that. It was the day of Mina, the 10th of Zulhijjah. People were making qurbani. This youngster was on one side crying. I went up to him. He was making dua, Allahumma, inna an-nasa qad dhabahu wa taqarrabu ilayk. He says, oh Allah, people have made qurbani. They have acquired your closeness. وَلَيْسَ لِي شَيْءٌ وَلَيْسَ لِي شَيْءٌ أَتَقَرَّبُهُ بِهَا إِلَيْهِ سِوَى نَفْسِ. Wallah, I don't have anything. I only have my own life to give you. فَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي. Wallah, accept my life. This youngster says this and Malik bin Dinar says he passes away on the spot. One sahabi in the Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. On the day of Arafah, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, bury him in the same ihram. Bury him with his hair open. Tomorrow on the day of judgment, he will rise up from his qabr reciting the labbaik. Ilayka qasdi. Ilayka qasdi rabbal bayti wal hijri. Fa anta su'ali min hajji wa min umri. Wa fika sa'i wa tatwafi wa muzdalifi. Wal hadyu nafsi. Yughniya anil jazari. Like the poet puts it beautifully, he says, Hajj is not the goal. Umrah is not the goal. Sa'i between Safa and Marwa is not the goal. Even Arafah is not the goal. What is the goal? What is the goal? What is the goal? Wallah, you are the goal. Ilayka qasti. Ya Allah, your love, your marifat, your recognition, that is the goal of the life of this person. When a person is going for Hajj, there is a lesson for every one of us. That ihram that he is tying is what? That ghusl before that ihram is to remind him of the ghusl of his janazah. That ihram that he is tying is to remind him of his kafan. That presentation on Arafah is to remind him of Hashar. That tawaf of Kaabatullah is to remind him of the tawaf that the malaika are making around the arsh of Allah. This is not an ordinary amal, it pertains to every one of us. He says, oh Allah, you are the goal. You are the goal, and the qurbani animal is not the qurbani animal. I am the qurbani animal, my nafs. That I am passing the knife on my nafs. That Ya Allah, I am making this decision that I will not disobey you. I will become yours, you become mine. Coming back to what we are mentioning, we have run out of time. But just to complete what we are mentioning, istilam of Hajar-e-Aswad, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the Hajar-e-Aswad is the right hand of Allah on this earth. When you make istilam of Hajar-e-Aswad, it's mentioned in the hadith, Allah's rahmat rains down upon you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, it is as if Allah is shaking the hand of his slave. In other words, you are like you when you go to the court of a king, you pledge allegiance. Each one of us is renewing our allegiance, our covenant with Allah. And this is such a Mubarak place. Allah take each one of us again and again. My respected brothers, he said that the one place that we can say with absolute conviction on the surface of this earth, the Mubarak lips of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam touched, was the Hajar-e-Aswad. The Hajar-e-Aswad is the one place on this earth that the lips of my Nabi touched. Those who are able to make istilam and place their lips on that stone are placing their lips on the same spot that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam placed his lips. The sabak and lesson, my respected brothers, Allah give us the haqaiq, Allah give us the reality of this amal. One is we may not be able to go each year. Those who are, upon whom it is farz, do not delay. We may not be able to go each year, but understand, ulama say there is one Kaabatullah. One is the Kaabatullah in Makkah, there is another Kaabatullah. There is another Kaabatullah that is situated between the ribs of each and every person. This dil, this qalb, this is Allah's Kaaba. They say, purify this. Fill it with the nuraniyat. Fill it with Allah's ta'alluq. Make tawbah from your sins. This noor will light up the entire world. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.